This is Like Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Audrey Nowakowski. It's clear we're living in unusual times. The COVID-19 pandemic has fundamentally changed how we socialize and how we work. For some, particularly essential workers, this has made it difficult to navigate an evolving workplace with employee protections in the limelight. Employers have been giving more leeway in the questions they can ask their employees, which raises concerns about accountability and potential discrimination. Barbara Zabala is an expert in health and wellness law, as well as the co-director of the Master's in Health Administration program at UW-Milwaukee's College of Health Sciences. She joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about employee rights during this pandemic.
So this seems like a small thing, but this question can have really big implications. Are employers allowed to ask you how you're feeling?
Yes, they can ask how you're feeling, especially right now with the pandemic. It's been declared officially a pandemic. The Americans with Disabilities Act is the law that would normally, that would apply in situations of employment and questions relating to an employee's health and illness. So in a pandemic, there's a provision within the Americans with Disabilities Act that loosens a little bit the restrictions that would otherwise apply, that of what employers can and can't do in terms of questioning about health or taking your temperature. In non-pandemic times, that would be prohibited. But in pandemic times, there's a provision called direct threat that gives employers a little bit more leeway in what they can do as far as asking questions and taking medical exams, which temperature taking, for example, would qualify as a medical exam. They're able to do that in these situations. And it's because, you know, it's not just about that individual and their fear of possible discrimination. There's also a more global need to protect other workers in the workplace because of the pandemic.
So you mentioned, when we have a pandemic, some of these restrictions are loosened. What are some examples of restrictions that would otherwise be in place outside of a pandemic?
So in a pandemic situation, employers can ask employees who are either visibly sick or say that they're sick, whether they have certain symptoms, you know, that they know might be an indication that they could have the virus. Those kinds of questions, that probing that you're going to be doing if someone is visibly sick or says that they're calling in sick, you wouldn't do that in a pre-pandemic kind of situation. You wouldn't start digging into, have you taken your temperature and are you feeling like you're coughing and is it a dry cough? And you, all those kind of more detailed questions you wouldn't want to do in a pre-pandemic time. And you wouldn't also take temperatures. You wouldn't ask that employees, you know, before they step into the workplace, get their temperature taken or ask them a series of health questions before letting them enter the workplace. That just would be a big no-no. So now, because of the pandemic and the direct threat standard, you have that ability to do that. You still have to be careful that you don't discriminate against employees based on any disability or perceived disability, because that still applies, and you still have to provide reasonable accommodations to employees who need them and who request them. That is still an ADA requirement, but you are able to ask for a little bit more information than you otherwise would or be able to take temperatures in the workplace.
If you're someone who's tested positive for COVID-19, is that something that you need to tell your company?
Do you need to tell your company? Not under the Americans with Disabilities Act. You would be violating guidelines, actually, by the CDC or the president's order or the stay-at-home order on the state level, or maybe even some local orders that say if you have the virus, you know, stay home, practice social distancing and all that. And so you would be in violation of those guidelines and or orders, but it wouldn't be a law, a statutory law like the ADA, where you're required to report. You know, the ADA would say if you do have it and you do report it to your employer, then your employer is obligated to reasonably accommodate you. And now under the new laws that were passed by Congress in March, the Families First Coronavirus Act, you would be eligible for paid sick leave, for example.
Going back to the, you know, testing positive, going to your company, I've heard from other companies that if you have a spouse who has tested positive, if you have children or anybody in your home who has tested positive, they want to know. Do you have to tell them? Similarly, if you're someone who has tested positive, do you have to tell them if there's somebody in your home who has tested positive? Because these are things that companies are asking for. And I think some people are afraid that they will be discriminated against as a result of it, or stigmatized, certainly.
You know, that's a great question. Again, the laws that we normally deal with in employment wouldn't require you to say that to your employer, but your employer might have a policy, at least right now, that they've implemented, asking all employees who've tested positive or have been exposed to someone who's tested positive to inform them of that information, you know, for purposes of keeping other workers safe and being able to take action to keep the workplace safe. So if you didn't want to tell the employer, you could be accused of violating a company policy. And, you know, typically those policies are tied to a disciplinary policy for violating other policies. And so you could be subject to discipline. If you feel, though, that you've been targeted for an improper reason, like because of your age or because of your race or because of your gender, some protected class, or because you have a disability, the laws that do exist, civil rights laws, would be there to protect you from any retaliatory action like termination or demotion or some other treatment that others would not have faced if they, you know, who were similarly situated.
Yeah. So kind of on the flip side of this, I've heard concerns from people who work for companies where they know someone has been sickened. They are essential workers, so they have to keep coming into work, not the people who are sickened, but rather the other employees. But the company won't say who got sick, who has been infected. And that concerns people who are going back into these facilities going, well, is it somebody I work with? Is it somebody nearby? Can companies name names when it comes to who's been infected?
No, they can't. That has been clear from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, the EEOC, which is the federal agency that enforces compliance with laws like the ADA. And the ADA, we talked about it earlier, where, you know, the restrictions are a little bit loosened during a pandemic like we're having, as far as what employers can ask of employees or do for employees. But one of the things that the EEOC has stressed is just because you can find out information that in other times you wouldn't be able to find out, you still have the obligation to keep that information confidential. So if you know someone, an employee who has the virus, you're not allowed to disclose who that is, but you should be following CDC guidelines and OSHA guidelines and trying to tell people who may have had interactions with that employee that they could be at risk, but you are not to name names. They do not want, and that would violate the confidentiality requirement under the ADA.
Okay. So, you know, you talked about this a bit before, paid time off. There have been a lot of questions about this, particularly for workers who generally aren't guaranteed paid time off. Right now, is there a requirement for all companies to offer it?
Companies with 500 or fewer employees, so larger companies, Congress excluded those from this paid sick leave, 2 weeks paid sick leave requirement. because they thought that larger companies, more than 500 employees, would already have paid leave policies and that employees would benefit from those existing paid leave policies, whereas smaller employers, defined again by Congress as 500 or fewer employees, are more likely to not already have paid leave policies. And so they wanted to make sure that employees who work for these smaller organizations had 2 weeks, 10 working days of paid sick leave if they met certain criteria. And it's not open to everybody. You know, if you're deciding to self-quarantine just because you're worried and you don't want to go back to work, or you're just afraid to get exposed to a virus situation, that's not qualifying. You can't get paid leave for that situation. So you have to meet one of the five tests in order to benefit from that paid leave.
What are these five tests?
You have to be subject to a quarantine order by the government or by a healthcare professional, or your child's school has closed or daycare has closed. There's a fifth category that's kind of a catch-all that has not been implemented at all by the Department of Health and Human Services yet. And I believe the other one is if you are caring for someone who is under an order to quarantine by the government or a healthcare professional.
Okay, so some companies are requiring employees to provide, you know, a positive test. I've heard from people who have said, you know, my company doesn't want to give me the paid time off because I don't have a test. But of course, access to these tests is pretty limited still. Even for people who have symptoms, it's hard to get these. Can they require that? Can they require you to get a positive test in order to take this time off?
That's not a qualifying factor under the FCRA, under the Families First Coronavirus Response Act. It's if you're subject to a quarantine order by a health professional, and there's no language that the quarantine has to do with a positive test. It's the order is by a health professional or the government. And so obviously having a test reinforces that, but I think employees could argue that my health professional is requiring me to stay home. And as long as they can present a letter, although the government has also said don't expect letters because the health community is very overwhelmed right now and it may be very difficult for them to respond to every request for a letter. So one of the mantras that I've seen by all the government agencies that are involved with this pandemic response, which includes HHS, Department of Labor, EEOC, Treasury, and the CDC, of course, all have asked employers to be flexible during this time. Be flexible in your policies and try to be understanding with employee needs and fears and anxieties. And I think that's important because, you know, even though employees may not have the legal tools, the fact that, you know, they are legitimately scared and anxious about what's going on is important for an employer to recognize as what are the long-term effects if you're not responding well to those employee fears. You know, how is that going to affect your ability to recruit, retain, and your reputation in the community, in addition to any possible lawsuits that, you know, employees might, once they're feeling up to it, want to file because they feel like they've been wronged in some way. Maybe negligence, you know, an inability for the employer to follow guidelines, which do say if you can work from home, work from home. So, you know, those are important considerations for the long term as well that employers should take into account when they're making these decisions.
Yeah. So some people have had a very hard time collecting their pay after they've been sick, even if they've been approved for this paid time off. What kind of recourse do they have if their company is stalling on their payment for whatever reason? Do you know?
Well, certainly they can file a complaint with the Department of Workforce Development in Wisconsin. That's our agency that deals with wage claims. You know, from the employer side, they are able to get a tax credit for being to fund these paid leave requirements. So they do have a means that the federal government created to finance paid leave requests. And so certainly, you know, if they're requesting the tax credit but not giving the employee the money, that would be fraud. And so that's something that, you know, I think Treasury would want to know, the Department of Treasury, since they're the ones who are administering these tax credits that employers should be taking advantage of in order to finance the paid leave requests.
Yeah. To sum things up a bit, what's important to remember when you're an employee who's trying to navigate this very unusual situation in the workplace?
Yeah, so I would say for employees, you know, your fears are legitimate. I mean, there's a lot of confusing information out there, and you should definitely pay attention to your health needs. And if you feel anxious about returning to the workplace because, for example, you have an underlying medical condition that may, you know, compromise you even more than someone who doesn't have such a condition, that you should tell your employer about that. And they are required to work with you to find a way to address that under the ADA. And I think there's a lot of people out there who may have underlying medical conditions that their employer has no idea about, which they shouldn't, because, you know, there's no need to know if your employees have diabetes or underlying cardiovascular issues, but those issues do make you more vulnerable to the virus. And if you are worried about that, tell your employer, and you know that, you know, there's an obligation on their part to work with you to find a reasonable accommodation so that you can feel safe.
Yeah. Well, Barbara Zabawa, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
You're welcome.
Barbara Zabawa is a clinical assistant professor and co-director of the Masters in Health Administration program at UW-Milwaukee's College of Health Sciences. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers.